and two texts, or if you like, one with its inevitable corollary, from Matthew chapter 7. The text is in verse 14. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. With its corollary in verse 26, everyone that hears these sayings of mine, everyone that hears me say these things, you see, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. The house fell, and great was the fall of it, the ramifications. The Lord Jesus here goes straight to the point. He has this vast crowd he's preaching to. It's at the beginning of his ministry. And all sorts of people are there, and they've come in all sorts of different, for different reasons, and perhaps some have brought their meal and some haven't, but they've been listening, 5,000 of them, plus women and children, to the Lord Jesus. And he says to them, you actually divide into two. There are two lots of you. There are either those of you who are going to do what most people do and go down the broad way, and that leads to destruction. But there will be one or two. There will be a few that take that pathway that leads to life. Just a few. When you think of the choice, one leads to eternity, but the other leads to destruction and to hell. You would think everybody would go for eternity. But you know, the powers of the things we can enjoy and do while we are here, especially do it with everybody else, are so powerful that many people want to do those things and throw away their chance of living forever where there is no more sin, no more trouble, no more pain. As you would say in modern parlance, it's a no-brainer. But most people make the wrong decision. And that is salutary in our thinking, isn't it? To sit in a class with your school friends. Don't know how big the class is now. My class was 37. And I have no idea what happened to most of them when I was there. But what Jesus would be meaning here is there might be two or three that would go to heaven, and all the other 34 would go to hell. It's all right to think in terms of theory, that many would go to hell, but only few to heaven. But if you break it up to your work colleagues, if you break it up to your schoolmates, if you break it up to all your friends, if they're not in the church, you've got this vast divide. The majority choosing the way of this life, which leads to destruction, and but a few choosing the way of life. And those few, only because they're rescued, because they didn't think they were going to change either until the Lord helped them to believe in it. So there are two fundamental ways according to the Lord Jesus. And it's very easy to tell which path you're on, because one has loads and loads and loads of people by the thousands, and the other only has a few. And we can know by the fact that we are with the thousands that we've almost certainly got it wrong. And that we're with the few who believe in Christ, that we've almost certainly, we could be fools, but we almost certainly have got it right. So here are the two ways. Now Jesus definitely encourages us But in those days, he encouraged that vast crowd of 5,000. He says, enter ye. You be sure of entering through that narrow gate. That's what the word straight means, as in the Straits of Dover. A narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Most roads today are not toll roads. So most of them don't have a gate. There are some toll motorways. The one in Birmingham, you still have to stop and pay. The one in London, Dartford Tunnel, Dartford Bridge crossing. You don't, you go through automatically and they've got it online. There isn't actually a gate, but the place, thing, the teaching is not made invalid. The main road where thousands go rushing leads to destruction. Now, we have to use our sense with this picture because we use motorway. You will use one today, I'm certain. And it doesn't mean because we use a motorway to go on our journey that we are on the wrong side. It simply gives us a picture. If you want to compare the numbers going to heaven with the numbers going to hell, then compare a motorway with a bridleway or a footpath where you have to enter over a stile. That's the comparison. It's as stark as that. Put it another way, of the millions who were alive in the days of Noah, only 8 survived. It was that sort of proportion. So we are thinking here of Jesus' teaching at its most crucial. This crowd is going to hear. Enter in at that narrow gate. Maybe they'd begin to think to themselves, what is Jesus talking about? What issues is he raising? Why does he say these things? But at least he makes it clear that if it's the road on which most people are bent, it's likely to be for pleasure, it's likely to be for selfish reasons. Most people enter on all sorts of things, but they all do it pushed by the same reason within them, that they just want to do it. It's just their way of life, just their natural approach to things. But enter ye in at the straight gate. So Jesus, when he's preaching, is saying even to that vast crowd, even 5,000 wouldn't be many compared with the thousands of Israel. He would have them all go in. But they're each one of them individually faced with a choice. And he says, enter ye in. You actually make a decision to enter somewhere. And then when I was evacuated in Devon, there was another farmer's field that had particularly lovely apples. And it was possible to go scrumping and you had plenty of apples anyway. But the act of opening the gate to the field was deliberate. Whether the consequences in that case mattered, who knows. But all I'm illustrating is that the actual beginning of the pathway to heaven, or the actual beginning of the pathway to hell, is deliberate. For the one, you need to be assisted by the Lord to go on that narrow way. For the other, you just need to be assisted by your human nature, as you are from the day you were born. Enter ye in at the straight gate. The gate is wide, it's a wide road, broad is the way, but it leads to destruction. And many there be which go in that way. Most people go that way, is what he's saying. Most people hurtle to destruction Most people are going on a way that leads to their own ultimate destruction, because all mankind are sinners. By nature, they will all do that. And it does need a conscious decision against that. There'll be many that go in there. Why? Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life. The gate is narrow. Why do many go to destruction? Because narrow is the gate, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life. The first time I ever came to preach at Friston, not in Friston, I preached on the village green for the faith mission at one time. But the first time I ever came looking for this church, I went up and down the road 3 times. Before I found it. It was not easily discernible. There was no big notice board like there is now. And I didn't even know that I'd passed it. So what Jesus is illustrating here is that it's easy to miss the path of life. You can hear the preaching of the gospel. You can know that there are churches that preach the gospel. You can know that there are people that read the Bible, but you just don't do it. You go sailing by. You do other things. And when Jesus says, because there's a broad way that leads to destruction, but it's so easy to miss the way of life. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life. That's interesting. One way leads to destruction, and that would conjure up all sorts of things in one's mind. But the other way leads to life. But haven't I got life? But he's talking about a better life. That's clear, isn't it? If you're alive and it leads to life, it leads to a greater life, a better life. So if you're on the road that leads to destruction, it's not just talking about the destruction of the body, it's talking about destruction of the soul, as the other is talking about the eternity of the life of the soul. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leads unto life. And only a few find it. The verses that I read to you, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man. So the Lord here is saying that those actually who hear the preaching, those actually who hear what the gospel has to say, those people who hear about eternal life, if they take no notice, if they hear what's being said, but take no notice, the result will be the same as if they never heard. They'll still be lost. And the Lord puts it this wonderful picture of the foolish man who built his house on the sand. To all intents, it looks as if it was the same sort of design of house as the other man. But the other man built on a rock, who is Christ Jesus. But this man didn't build on the rock, didn't have any firm foundations to govern his life. And when disasters came, when they came thick and fast and multiplied, when the rain caused floods, when the strength of the wind began to overthrow the house collapsed. And Jesus says, great was the fall of it. Not only did the house fall, but people were killed. The farm animals were killed. Lots of other people were involved in the loss of the money and the loss of the... It had many, many, many ramifications. And if we hear the gospel, but really don't take any notice, don't enter into that narrow way that leads to life, the ramifications are awful and will come later if not now. It is quite nice going along a narrow footpath. However, if I've got people, you know, our son David and the children with me, I don't like doing the river wall at Aldborough. The reason is there's only room for one at a time. And you can't all walk together in a little huddle there and talk to another while you do things. Well, when they were young, they did. They ran down the embankments and things like that. But really, it's a one in the time thing. And what Jesus is teaching us is that we must do this thing one by one of our own intention. Never mind how many actually are walking just behind us and just in front of us on the way. We must be prepared that this is a journey with Christ as our invisible guide. But it is a journey against sin. It's against the human nature grain. And it's very difficult. But the Lord helps and makes it very pleasant. Now, I know you've heard me say before, but there's a corollary to this in Luke 13 and verse 23. Somebody came to Jesus some time later, because it was the Sermon on the Mount before, which was right at the beginning of the ministry. And Jesus was asked the question in Luke 13 verse 23, are there few that be saved? It was as if the man couldn't believe it. It was as if he'd heard by word of mouth from those who'd heard the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus had actually said that. And either he couldn't really take it in, or it beggared belief. So he said, did you really, really, really say that there were few that be saved? Jesus didn't say yes. He didn't say no. But you can tell that he meant yes. And what he actually says in reply is just make sure you're one of them. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, enter in. Here is this man, perhaps 2-3 years later, believing that Jesus may have said these words and wanting clarification. Maybe because he didn't really believe it, maybe because he did want to believe it. We have no means of telling. But Jesus, instead of saying to this man and those who are around, enter in at the straight gate, says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Work at it. Be sure that you give it your best attention. Be sure that you, Spurgeon used the expression, be sure you do this before you do anything else. And that's right. It is the most important thing in the whole of life. We shouldn't waste any time, whatever. Strive. It is an effort. Have to bring ourselves to do it. We have to resist temptations within, habits we don't want to break, and all these sort of things. We do have to strive. But Jesus does repeat, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, doesn't put it quite the same way as he put it for, but many will seek to enter in and shall not be able. So, maybe people come to the end of life, suddenly they want to go to heaven. But they've not lived a very good life. The Lord does sometimes give deathbed conversions, but I can tell you what normally happens. People have said to me in so many words, different people in different situations without collision with one another, I can't come to God now because of the way I've lived. See, they're thinking naturally. It is good news, they could still come. But the general reaction is you've got 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, and you're facing dying. Your mind has got hardened. You've done what you wanted to do. And even if you're honest, you think, well, it's not fair, but I'm not, I can't come. The heart does get hardened. There's a time when many who fail to take that narrow road wish they could, and it is too late. Be sure it doesn't happen to you. Are there few that be saved? Never mind how many others there are. Just be sure that you strive to enter in at the straight gate. And once you're walking on that narrow path, look to the Saviour and enjoy fellowship with the others who are behind you or before you. Amen.